friends. Welcome to Ask Dr. Julie Hanks podcast. I'm so glad you're here. In each episode, I coach a listener through a tough question about mental health, personal growth, family relationships, or faith journeys. My goal is to help you think, feel, or do something differently to improve your life because you listen to this podcast. I want you to step into your power and create a life you love. Let's get started. I'm so happy to welcome Sylvia to the podcast today. Hi, Sylvia.
Hi, Julie. How are you?
Good. I'm good. What's your question for me today?
So I am wondering how I can stay engaged and active in the church as a full-time working mom. I work outside the home. Mm-hmm. And as a feminist, I've been having a lot of struggles with that.
Okay. And just for our viewers who aren't familiar with the term the church, you're talking about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Is that correct? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. So tell me kind of what's been difficult. I can make some assumptions, but I want to hear from you. What's been difficult about being a feminist and a working mom in the church for you?
You know, those are two items that I've always put on a shelf, right? I've never really minded being a member of the church and mm-hmm. doing both of those things. It actually came to a head for me a few months ago when I had one of those Mother's Day talks, you know, I heard over the pulpit. And you can imagine, you know, those talks are very, I don't know what the term is for them. But one of the specific talks was about, you know, their spouse and how they were highly educated, but they chose to be devoted to their families and stay home, and mm-hmm. how the family proclamation specifically states that mom should stay home, which I don't believe that it does. So that it hit me in a way that it hadn't hit me before. Mm. I talked to my bishop about it. I said, hey, you know what? Like, this is not necessarily true for all of us, for all the moms out there. This is not a true statement. And we just need to be careful about, you know, who we choose to talk on Mother's Day. Mm. And he was very reassuring, and he brought it back to his bishopric, which my husband was part of at that time. Mm-hmm. And the consensus with the bishopric was, well, we were only teaching doctrine. The speaker was only teaching doctrine that a woman should stay home. And if they are truly devoted to their families, they will not be working outside the home.
Mm. Okay. So yeah, I am like you. That's not my understanding of what the family proclamation, it says, primarily responsible for. It does not ever say stay at home.
Mm-hmm.
So right. That points to more stewardship than prescribing how to do life. So is right. it okay that some people interpret it that way and you interpret it differently?
Sure. But to tout it as doctrine, I think that's where I have the issue with it. To tout their interpretation of it as doctrine.
Yeah. And so what if they're wrong? What if the speaker was wrong?
Right.
And the bishopric is wrong.
Right. Right. And I can tell you from my point, from that time forward, it's been a few months, but mm-hmm. I've been, you know, I chose not to renew my temple recommend specifically because I am having a hard time sustaining my leaders at this time.
Mm, yeah. So that was really painful for your bishopric to come back and say that to you, that, well, he's just teaching doctrine.
Right.
Yeah. And you disagree with that.
Right.
So how do you define sustain? Like, what does that mean to you?
I think that's kind of the quest that I've been on since, because I've been trying to really look inward and figure out really what the core of my beliefs are at this point. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I've lived with that shell for a long time, and it finally crashed. I mean, yeah. I think it was just a matter of time that it crashed for me. So I'm trying to define what it means. And sustaining for me, I think it's developing into holding our leaders accountable.
Mm. Okay, I like that. So holding them accountable, how?
I think it's okay to disagree with them, which I hadn't thought of before. I think it's okay. You know, there was, you know, this past Sunday was a testimony meeting that was a series of travel logs that I said, you know, to my poor bishop. I really do like him, but it was one of those like, hey, bishop, like, can we remind people that we're here to strengthen each other's testimonies and not necessarily do travel logs, things like that, you know, speaking up.
Yeah. Good. Good. We need more people like you, Sylvia. Okay. So, and it's not your job all the time. It's only your job when you choose it, right? Like you don't owe that. So did you used to believe that sustain meant agree?
Yeah. Okay. I did.
Yeah, I don't believe that. Because there are a lot of things I disagree with at every level in the church. So the definition in the dictionary means to support or succor. So that is kind of like to nurture. It doesn't mean agree. And there's also another interesting definition of sustain, which is to endure. You know, when people say he sustained a concussion or she sustained this injury, it means to endure, like they experienced this thing. And when I read that, I just was really fascinated by that because I think possibly both of those definitions can be helpful. Like we can support without agree and we can endure and undergo or go through their weaknesses and their mistakes.
And when you say endure, I'm trying to reconcile that to fit what I'm trying to make it okay for me to say I sustain my leaders wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm. We can endure through their mistakes. We can endure through their shortcomings.
Yeah. That's one of the definitions of sustain that I find really interesting and that's actually helped me personally go, oh, it's not agree. It's to support and I can support them and I can, that doesn't mean I agree with everything they do, but I'm not going to tear them down. I'm not going to treat them poorly. I'm going to treat them well and with respect and respect that office, but I don't agree with everything.
Okay.
My husband was the bishop and I didn't agree with everything he did or said.
Right.
Okay. They're just dudes doing the best they can, right?
Yeah. It's hard. Yeah. It's very hard.
It's really hard. It's really hard. And you get to decide what it means for you and if you can say that you sustain them or not. That's a you decision.
Yeah, and you talk a lot about differentiation. And I think that's, you know, at a point in my life, differentiation is a big thing for me to work on at this point. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to figure out how do I align my values and feel good about sustaining the leaders when they're, you know, flat out telling me, you know, we're only teaching doctrine and it goes against what your life looks like.
Mm. Yeah. So differentiation might be like, huh, okay, I disagree. I feel perfectly fine with how my life is going. And there's space for them to think different things without upset. It's like, okay, that's them. This is me. We're different. We can still remain in a relationship. If I choose. And it can be okay. Like I don't have to be bad and I don't have to make them bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to do.
We can just be.
Yeah. Because we're used to like, who's right? Who's wrong? What's, you know, who's the bad guy? Who's the good guy?
Yeah, some days since then have been hard for me. It's been, I don't know how to reconcile that crashing of my shelf. At this point. And I think what you're saying is it's okay for me to sit on that, and that's okay.
Right. What if you don't have to reconcile? What if you just get to choose? Is this something that I want to stay associated with or not?
And I don't know. And I haven't known for a while.
And that's okay to not know. Yeah. And it's okay to go and then not go and then decide to go and then, or whatever level, like this is your spiritual journey. And so you get to not know too.
Yeah. And not knowing is the hard part, but yeah.
It's really hard when you're taught and surrounded by people who seem so certain. It's like you're the odd one out.
Yeah. And I think those voices are the loudest sometimes. Yeah.
Right.
Those voices are certainly the loudest sometimes.
Yeah. But Jesus Christ didn't teach certainty. He taught faith.
Right. And I think I'm at a point where, I think I'm at a point where, I can say with certainty, I know the church is not true. I know the gospel is true. And that's the kind of differentiation I'm working on with my life and being okay with my life and how that looks compared to the church's idea or whatever.
Right. Yeah. So in Fowler's Stages of Faith, are you familiar with Fowler's Stages of Faith at all? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So for those who are listening who aren't, James Fowler is a psychologist who studied a lot of faith traditions and came up with the stages that people go through with their faith. And the move from stage 3 to stage 4 is kind of what you're describing, where it's kind of like you do this, you get this is stage 3. Other people know better than I know. Like I can't really trust myself. I need to trust the leaders. Then you move into stage 4 and it's more like it's painful. It's like, wait, this isn't what I thought it was. And people make mistakes and this person isn't who I thought they were. And I don't know how I feel about this. So it's a lot of upset sometimes. It's also called dark night of the soul. Like that not knowing is really, really tricky. And so what you're describing is a stage of faith. And Fowler says that organized religions seek to create and maintain stage 3 faith. And you're moving into stage 4, which is going to feel like you don't fit in. Because most of the people surrounding you are stage 3.
Exactly.
Yeah. So there's nothing wrong with you, and there's nothing wrong with them. They're at a different stage of faith.
Yeah. And I think there's, I know I have some anger behind that and resentment.
Yeah.
And maybe that's misguided. At the people that may be at stage 3.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah, so that may help you have a little bit more compassion. Like that's how they see the world. And we've all been there and seen the world that way. And then some people stay there and they're really happy there, and that's okay. And so that's actually helped me to be able to go, oh, that's a stage 3 comment that the bishop made.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
I like that.
Diagnosed by stage of faith, right? That's a stage 2 testimony. That's a stage 5 testimony. And it can kind of organize what's happening in a way that allows you to have compassion for yourself and for other people, which is, I think, the Christ-like way to live is to be loving, right? So maybe that'll help just have, you know, using that lens of the stages of faith to go, oh, okay, I don't have to resent this person. I can just identify they're in a different stage of faith and it doesn't resonate with me.
Yeah, that's good. I might have to print out a pocket guide for me to take to church.
You'd like pull out your handout from your...
Yeah, that's very good.
Yeah. And you're on a journey and where you are is okay. Like there's nothing wrong with you.
Yeah. And I think we're taught that we have a checklist, right? And we check the boxes and we just keep moving on from one box to another. And the stage of just, I keep saying, I feel like I'm just sitting on my hands. Mm-hmm. I don't make a move because I don't know what move to make.
Yeah. And part of maturing spiritually is letting yourself be in that place and practicing being okay with not knowing. Mm. You don't have to pressure yourself to make a decision right now.
Yeah, I don't know what decision to make. You know?
Well, then just sit with it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't know which direction. And that's okay. That's different. We're not used to sitting with not knowing and uncertainty.
Yeah. I mean, even just, you know, I'm not used to not having a temple recommend because I choose not to do so at the time.
Yeah. That's new.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Yeah. Is there more?
You know, I think about my children and what I want them to see and what I want them to grow with, grow up with. And I know, like I said, I know even my son told me, you know, the church is not true, but the gospel is. And I said, that's right. So I want them to grow up with that differentiation and I want to model that for them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want the stage threeers to model that for them.
Yeah.
That's hard. That's a hard thing to do.
It is. It's really hard. But you're a great person to help them learn how to check in with themselves. Like, does that feel true to you? How do we recognize what's truth, what's good, what's, you know? And I think a really good question that you could teach your kids is, does this teaching lead me to be more loving? Because that's why we're here.
The core of the gospel, right?
So if it doesn't, then it's probably not true.
Yeah. And it's not true. It doesn't have to be true for one person to be true for somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, you're coming along. I'm excited for you. Because you're doing the really hard work of differentiating and moving through faith stages and asking the hard questions and asking yourself, you know, what do I want? What do I think? And really claiming responsibility for your spiritual life.
And, you know, I've listened to a lot of your work and I really admire how secure you are with how your life has gone, right? In terms of what we're talking about, being a working mom, having a career, doing things outside of the cultural mold that we often encounter. Can I ask, like, is it still an ongoing progress? Is it still taken a while?
It did take a while. That's just, I think, part of getting older is you just care less what people think. And I wrestled and felt different from people around me sometimes because of how, you know, my life choices. But I've also found people who are very similar to me and who feel like they have callings outside of the home as well as in the home. And so it's been a long process. So it hasn't come easily and I haven't always felt secure. I felt like, is something wrong with me because I want these things? Mm-hmm. And I've just come to the conclusion that nothing's wrong with me, that my desires are good. My professional desires are good. My family desires are good. And I'm just going to go with that.
I'm the kind of person that likes the timeline. And there isn't one. And there isn't one.
There's no timeline. Ultimately, I'm accountable for my life, my talents, my gifts, my behavior, my choices. It's ultimately up to me. And nobody else knows what my path is. No one else can know that. And no one else can know that for you.
So I can still be hurt. I can still have feelings about certain things. I can still speak up about them. And I can still come back to asking myself, does that ring true for me?
Yeah. I hope this has been helpful, Sylvia.
Yes, yes, definitely. I've been looking forward to talking with you, and it's been great.
Oh, good. What are a couple of things that you're going to take with you from our conversation?
Well, I mean, all joking aside, I really do think that that's a really good way of thinking about others, is the, you know, stages of faith. That's one thing that can help me just feel a little bit concrete as I'm going through this process of not knowing. I think that can be helpful. And I think, you know, that it's a resource, right? We talk about resources a lot in, you know, in therapy, and I think that's a good resource. So thank you. And just, I think I need to just tell myself that it's okay to sit in the unknown.
Yeah. It's painful. It's hard. It's uncomfortable. We're not taught how to do it, but you're doing it.
It's okay to sit still.
Yeah. Yep. That's wonderful. Well, I've loved talking with you today, and I'm cheering you on in your spiritual growth and, you know, tolerating not knowing and moving through those stages of faith.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Are you enjoying this podcast? Let me offer you more support and the chance to connect with other like-minded women with a Latter-day Saint background. Join my group coaching. You will be seen, heard, and you'll find a welcoming group of women. And you'll get coaching from me around topics that matter most to you. To join my group coaching, go to drjuliehanks.com/membership today and use the code podcast to get your first month free. Come try it out. Let's support each other and grow together. You are not alone. We're waiting for you. Have you ever thought, hey, I want to talk to Dr. Julie Hanks about this question? Well, now's your chance. I want to have you on my podcast. So email hello@drjuliehanks.com with your question and the reason why you want to be on the podcast. And we may just choose you for a free coaching session.